Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program, Matt Anderson, who's Director of Logistics as a Service at Blue Jay Solutions. And today we're going to talk about how to mitigate additional costs in transportation. Now, you know, last year, many shippers were caught flat-footed when it came to rising transportation costs and capacity constraints. And I think it's safe to say, as we're heading into 2019, that shippers are much more vigilant and much more willing to look for opportunities to save money and control their costs better in transportation this coming year. So where are these opportunities to save costs, and how do you go about realizing them? Well, that's the main focus of today's episode, and it's great to have Matt on the program to share his insights and perspective on the topic. So, Matt, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
So, Matt, we've had many of your colleagues there at Blue Jay Solutions over the years here on Talking Logistics. I think this is your first time, and always like to find out, as a way to kind of get the program started, how people get involved in this crazy industry that we're in to begin with. So why don't we start there? Why don't you briefly tell us a little bit about your career path, how long you got involved in supply chain logistics, and kind of what your current role and responsibilities are there at Blue Jay Solutions?
Sure. So my path was more traditional. I was a business management major at Grand Valley State University here in West Michigan. My advisor at the time was launching the supply chain program at Grand Valley. So I had a lot of one-on-one time with him, kind of helped build that program to an actual supply chain major today, which didn't exist at the time. So more traditional through this, school, I kind of entered college not knowing what I wanted to do in business, but I was attracted to the industry. It's it's fast paced, it's challenging. Every day is different. So from there, worked with that advisor and got a couple internships in the West Michigan area, and kind of things progressed from there. Got some full term employment. Been really working the last 12 years in more of a managed services environment. So working on behalf of shippers and really executing day to day transportation management for them, and then continuous improvement opportunities. Right. So we're digging deep within the supply chain, understanding where there's not only potential cost savings, but cost mitigation, which kind of leads us to where our topic is today.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think today, certainly there are many more, supply chain logistics programs at universities, but that certainly wasn't the case, not that long ago. I think it was great that you were able to, be at the leading edge there with, at your university and partner up with that advisor. So he gave you good advice in terms of which career to go into.
Yeah. And the Michigan, West Michigan area, Michigan State's close by, there's a lot of supply chain, talent and universities that are specializing in that. So it's a good area to be in.
Great. Well, let's get into the topic now. I mean, like I said in my opening remarks, I mean, certainly 2018 was a challenging year for shippers from a cost and capacity standpoint. I mean, looking back, at 2018, I mean, what were some of the key lessons learned and kind of what are you hearing from shippers and maybe even carriers today in terms of, their expectations for 2019?
So, I mean, 2018 was the first time in quite a while we really saw transportation spend become, part of earnings calls, part of C-level suite discussions, publications. It became very visible throughout an entire organization, not just something that kind of happened in the background, and it was just kind of a necessary part, kind of last link of supply chain. So it'd be, a lot of interest in how to not necessarily save money, because last year was in a tough environment for that, but not spend additional money. So mitigating additional costs was the focus, and velocity of ideas was important. It was like, how can we save money now? So you had to look at, how long it would take to mitigate some costs, and you may go for a lower, cost mitigation idea that you can implement in a quicker amount of time than something that's maybe a larger carrot but may take longer. So that velocity was important. So people started to look kind of internally within their own four walls and say, where can we influence our behavior, influence our costs, get more out of what we're dealing with? So three areas that kind of really were recurring in that aspect were really trailer utilization, order lead time, and detention, but more so freight attractiveness. So we really started to dig into those areas, and and understanding, you know, larger supply chain metrics and make sure there's no, you know, conflict in those metrics. If I'm trying to gain efficiency in one area, that is not at the expense of another area. So it really forced some discussions cross-functionally within organizations for the first time in a while. Transportation may be talking with demand planning or production planning or customer service on a lot of different processes and metrics that maybe hadn't been measured before.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you couldn't pick up the Wall Street Journal last year without seeing, you know, some kind of headline related to transportation or, you know, some, you know, CEO, CFO kind of, you know, partially blaming their, you know, shortcomings in the quarter because of, you know, rising transportation costs. So I think when you see it reach the C-level suite and you're hearing CEOs and CFOs talking about it, you know, it's a very different environment than, you know, than in the past. And I think the other point you just made, I think is important too. I think, you know, I think on the positive side, I think these types of situations really serve as a catalyst for enhanced collaboration, both internally within the different functional groups to look at ways to mitigate, you know, some of these costs, increases and challenges, as well as collaboration between shippers and carriers and the other stakeholders, you know, whether it's customers or suppliers, to see how, you know, everyone can work more effectively together to kind of navigate, you know, through that environment.
Sure.
So you mentioned some opportunities there. So let's start exploring, you know, some of them, starting with, you know, capacity utilization that you mentioned. I mean, in your experience, I mean, do shippers fully utilize the capacity that they have? And, you know, where are kind of the biggest opportunities for improvement in this area?
So, I mean, it's capacity utilization really ties to, you know, how can you fill up the truck? Everybody measures, you know, typically on a cost per unit in terms of their finances, cost per pound, cost per cube, something to that effect. And basically what is on the trailer for the cost I'm paying for it. And we saw a lot of opportunity to mitigate costs. They're always there, but they were even more so in 2018. So if you think about generally what are the three types of movement for a typical, you know, shipper, there's probably inbound movements from vendors. There's stock transfers between facilities from plant to DC, and there's outbound to customer. So again, looking at velocity, how quickly can we make change and mitigate costs? You know, those stock transfers, the moves that were, you know, fully within the control of that organization was the first place to start. So, you know, looking at underutilization there, what that forced was discussions around, if we're not filling out the trailer, why is that? So, you know, logically, if you in a market where capacity is at a premium and you need more trucks, why not utilize the trucks that you already have? So it really started to get some internal discussions going and around production planning, demand planning of how we can fill out those trucks, and little things can make a difference. You know, adding a couple pallets on the back of the stock transfer lane that's going five times a day quickly adds up. So we're able to, you know, here at Blue Jay working with our shippers, put a cost associated to that and a carrot associated to that. Say, if we make this change, here's some potential benefit out of it. And again, it may not be saving money, but it's just not spending additional money.
Yeah, I love that, because I mean, a lot of times, you know, the you know, I think if you just take a step back and you just look at what's currently happening, you know, when times are good, it's easy to overlook, you know, these areas of what I would call kind of waste, if you will. Sure. You know, in this case, wasted space. But when things get tight, like I mentioned, that's when you start realizing that, hey, why aren't we filling these trucks, right? And asking those questions and going through the process in terms of saying, hey, what can we change or tweak that will, you know, help us, in this case, increase, you know, asset utilization or capacity utilization. I mean, one of the things I saw kind of, which is a little bit more from a collaborative standpoint, is just even changing packaging. You know, if you're able to get more product per case, more cases per pallet, and then ultimately more pallets per truck, you know, that effectively increases, you know, the amount of product you can move per truckload. So I saw some innovation there as well.
And you got to keep close eye on what you're shipping too. You may, if you are shipping heavy loads and you're weighing out a trailer, and you start to ship, you know, lighter commodities for whatever reason, you have a production facility that's, you know, switching a mix of what they're making, and you're not adjusting to that, to now, you know, planning based on a cube and not a weight, you can unknowingly be creating some waste within in the transportation space. And so that'll add up quickly if you don't catch that.
Yeah, no, that's another great example. You know, whenever there's a tight market like we had last year, I mean, you always see a lot of discussion around, you know, becoming a, you know, a shipper of choice or a preferred shipper. And one way to do that is, you know, to keep a carrier, you know, carrier's trucks moving, right? Not keep them waiting to load or unload, you know, their trailers at your distribution center or at a, you know, consignee location. I mean, how big of a problem are detention costs in the industry, and what actions can shippers take to kind of, you know, mitigate, you know, those costs?
Sure. So it's a big problem, right? I mean, carriers and drivers can be more selective with where they, you know, where they pick up. And in 2018, where we saw that capacity crunch, it gave carriers even more reason to want to load somewhere and not want to load somewhere else based on maybe how long they're waiting. So, and obviously there's the detention cost component of that, which is easily trackable, but there's some of the hidden costs that don't show as easily. What we started to see was an increase in really the secondary market on some of those lanes. So not only are you paying for the detention time, but now you're paying incrementally more above maybe a market rate because you have to go to the spot market, and these locations can sometimes be visible within the carrier and driver space. They know, hey, stay away from this, or if I'm going to go there, I'm going to charge, you know, 20% more because I know I'm going to wait. I know I get reimbursed, but it maybe doesn't cover all my costs. So there was hidden costs even within a carrier pricing from a base rate standpoint. So we started to see locations that were rough in that area start to kind of bubble up in terms of our overspend versus market. You know, things that can be done. I saw more shippers start to look at investing in drop yards if they didn't have those before. Working on drop programs with carriers, even with, you know, from an outbound shipper standpoint with their customers, saying, you know, giving some data around, you know, we can provide better service and all this kind of stuff if we can, you know, get some more consistency of drop equipment at your location, if that's a potential that exists. And really investigating, you know, inbound and outbound kind of time schedules and your dock schedule, and is there any efficiencies there to leveling stuff out, you know, looking at, you know, when are you preloading some drop equipment, doing that on third shift when maybe that's not a high velocity time for when drivers want to pick up. So again, cross-functional conversations that happen more at the warehouse and shipping level that really were positive in terms of mitigating costs.
And I would think that this is an area where, you know, technology can play a role. You know, on the one hand, is, you know, having that data and that visibility to know which are the problem locations, if you will, from a detention standpoint, to initiate those conversations, whether they're problem locations within your own company, you know, pickup distribution centers and so forth, or they're problem locations at your customers, and then be able to show the data and say, hey, look, you know, here's where we have a problem. If we work, you know, more effectively together, let's understand why this is happening. And, you know, we could provide better service and perhaps even provide better cost. And then I think from a, you know, dock scheduling or appointment scheduling, you know, tools can play a role here as well, sure. Right?
Yeah, and it's, again, cross-functional. So you may, you have to, you know, maybe go to the shipping location and say, let's level the schedule out to make it more consistent and better terms, all that kind of stuff. Then you also potentially have to involve another stakeholder group, either customer service or, you know, production planning, demand planning. If we're going to change that schedule around, they may, you know, there's some impact there. So again, it's the theme was cross-functional conversations and getting, you know, in terms of you know, my discussions with customers and shippers, is instead of having transportation in the room at a, you know, quarterly business review, it was transportation, it was finance, it was warehousing, it was demand planning. We got many more stakeholders involved in that conversation. So yeah,
no, that's great. I mean, I think and that to me, you know, hearing that, you know, goes back to what I said earlier. I mean, it sounds like it truly is, you know, become a catalyst for, you know, these types of more cross-functional, you know, conversations to really look at it from a system perspective, as opposed to a very, you know, siloed, you know, single functional, you know, view. You know, you mentioned some things that are early on in terms of some other ideas or other ways that shippers can find cost savings. I mean, what are some other things that shippers ought to be thinking about that perhaps they traditionally overlook?
So yeah, order lead time was another area that we found really an increased cost of, you know, looking at some general parameters. You know, carriers generally like to have 2 to 3 days of lead time from when you're tendering them a load to when it needs to pick up, you know, their route plan, all that kind of stuff. And that's a general number. But what we saw was an increase the incremental cost of when something was placed within that time frame. So So it was more expensive to ship within that, you know, potentially 4 to 8 hours than not. And so that was growing over time. So again, you know, getting customer service and production planning involved and putting the data behind when we do have enough time, this is what you pay. When you don't have enough time, this is what you pay. And there's a cost component to that and potentially service as well. If you have to go to a secondary market, you know, carriers that maybe aren't familiar with the lane, there's impacts there as well. So again, cross-functional conversations that were happening that now we're starting to see some of that calm down. Really in all these areas, we're starting to see the impact calm down. But the overwhelming message from our standpoint is, you know, still keep your foot on the gas with that kind of stuff, because one, you're still going to, you know, create efficiencies within your supply chain. But if we're only a major weather event away from you know, capacity turning and kind of a volatile time still. So having this in your back pocket is of understanding I'm getting the best out of what I have is never a bad path to take.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, I think which really going to lead me to my last question. I mean, you really, you know, can't stop continuous improvement or looking for opportunities for, you know, for continuous improvement. But, you know, as a way to wrap up, I mean, going after any of these cost savings or cost mitigation opportunities, you know, ultimately requires shippers to kind of move away from, quote unquote, you know, the way we've always done things, which, you know, a lot of times it's easier said than done, you know, because there's a lot of, you know, change management hurdles that are involved. So how can shippers overcome these change management, you know, hurdles to realize these, you know, cost saving opportunities?
So I think first is a realization that, you know, a lot of inefficiencies that may exist in the supply chain usually then end up showing up in transportation. I think that's what really happened in 2018. Obviously, there was a carrier pricing component to it. But a lot of inefficiencies were upstream. So that first you have to realize and understand that's probably, you know, a factor. So then it's just, you know, prioritizing and focusing on what you want to attack first, kind of that velocity concept. What can I easily fix first? So looking at your intra-facility, you know, movements and internet network movements, and what can I impact? How can I make sure I'm getting the loads and orders in at a reasonable time to get, you know, tenders to carriers? Can I fill the trucks? And all these things kind of build on each other. So I would encourage, you know, metrics that kind of go cross-functionally. And track to those metrics. So, you know, order lead time goals for a customer service team or demand planning team or utilization goals, and making sure there's no conflict. You don't want to say to a shipping location, well, I don't want to see any detention costs next month. So a result of that, they ship all their loads out half utilized. That's not necessarily what you want there. So you want to make sure there's no conflict of those goals. But I've seen that in the past. I've seen, you know, goals from a warehouse saying, hey, our goal is to reduce detention. But there was, you know, a higher carrot out there in terms of cost savings from, you know, shipping a half a load across the country. So again, it'll take a stakeholder and a group to understand those higher level metrics and how everything kind of fits together, and that higher transportation costs may not, you know, be where the issues are.
Right, and I think like we mentioned before, I mean, I think you know, part of, you know, one way to kind of get that buy-in is that you've got all this data in front of you and all this information in front of you. I think you mentioned earlier to say you can show that, hey, you know, if we have more lead time, for example, this is how much we tend to pay. And when we don't, this is how much we tend to pay. Look at the delta, right? And if you're able to kind of show in dollar terms with the data, the reality, you know, I think it's easier to get that buy-in to say, okay, there is a real opportunity here, versus just, you know, almost theoretically kind of stating things, right? So I think leveraging the data that you have to uncover these opportunities and quantify it, I think helps people, you know, to go behind these, you know, stand behind these initiatives.
And the transportation planners feel that. They see that. They know what's happening. You know, but then to your point, putting the data behind that and saying, you know, here's a real opportunity. Here's the real dollars associated with changing behavior is impactful. And we saw that really gain steam.
Right. And like we talked right now, and like we talked at the very beginning, you know, CEOs and CFOs are now have a much, you know, stronger pulse on what's happening in transportation. So I think, you know, showing these numbers and showing these opportunities also gets the buy-in from, you know, upper management as well. Well, Matt, you know, like I always say, you know, we always manage to scratch the surface on these topics, but I think you provide some great examples of how shippers can mitigate, you know, additional costs in transportation this year. and some advice on how to get started. So again, thank you for making the time to be with us today.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Great. I want to thank those of you that joined us. If you're watching this episode on demand, either at the Blue Jay website or on Talking Logistics, and you've got a question or a comment for Matt, you can post it there, and I'm sure he'll be more than happy to respond via that medium. Again, thank you for joining us, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.